Hello! Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, the host with the most viral stand-up comedy video about professional wrestling, Dan Black, a.k.a. Donski Blackamora, a.k.a. the Patreon Don, a.k.a. Donnie Kayfabe, a.k.a. the modern-day Goof Raja. Coming at you like Scott Bakula, baby, this podcast taking a quantum leap. Gabba wee, yeah, the girl, she's mine, and damn, she's fine. What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all those hot wrestling reactions. What up? Man, what a week. We are here. I'm still in New York. Let's just introduce my guest right away before we get into the logistics. Sitting across from me, my best friend, the king of the custom intro, the biggest heel in the fucking world. Here he is. You know him.
Sierra Hotel, Echo, Bravo, India, Romeo, Oscar, Shapiro.
Jason Shapiro, what is up?
What's going on, brother?
Yeah, man.
It's great to be back here in the same room that I recorded 2 weeks ago in New York. I'm glad you're still in New York.
I know. I booked a ticket to stay in New York for a week.
Yeah.
Then I extended it a week. Yeah. Then I extended it a week.
And then every week you keep going, yo, can you do the podcast on Wednesday?
I'm
not sure if I'm going to have a guest. Can you do the podcast? And I go,
I'll
be there, baby.
Absolutely.
I'm in comedy. I like wrestling. I could do this.
Look, everyone. I mean, we got a lot to cover here on this episode. So we might have a bunch of new listeners to this podcast this week.
Sure. This was a huge week for you.
Yeah. So for the people who listen to this podcast who don't know what I'm talking about, I posted a clip of my stand-up comedy about professional wrestling. I posted it during game 3, I believe, of the NBA Finals. Can't be sure about the game because, like the clip shows, I don't give two fucks about sports at all. I don't care. It was just a bit about how I don't like sports. Anyway, it seemed to have blown up on the internet.
I think it's specifically not just that you don't like sports, it's that wrestling is better than sports.
Yes,
and here's why.
Yeah, and it's gotten, like, by my count, it has like, my original post has like 420,000 listens. And I just posted it just on my regular Dan Black, the guy, Facebook page. Then it's been stolen a bunch. Like, I've seen clips of it. People are sending me versions of it that have like 100,000 listens. Don't even have my name in it.
Sucks.
Pirates. Yeah, the pirates out there. It probably has about 1 million views, which is pretty awesome.
I'm the content creator now.
Yeah, so anyway, we'll talk about the clip in a second, but the reason I'm going to say is that we probably have some new listeners to the show who saw the clip and are professional wrestling fans, and I say welcome, Jabroni. You are new Jabroniacs here in the nation of Cal, comedians of wrestling, baby. Welcome.
Fashion!
And what I want to say is that let's introduce you to the show. Welcome. So normally I record this show in Los Angeles, people in studio. Normally we got Alex Newman in here who will do some characters and stuff and some fun stuff, and we also we have Zig, the producer, in here, and Noosh, our social media guy, and I record from there. But I'm in New York right now, and so that's it. So things about the show, you can cash in and get your opinion on this show.
Wait, you mean any listener could just be a part of the show whenever they want?
Oh my God, Jason Shapiro, absolutely right. You just leave us a voicemail at 316-530-2429-316. 530-2429. Blow my mind. Gabba wee. Leave us that voicemail. We got a bunch today. We'll play your voicemail on the show if it's good enough to be on the show. Also, we got a Patreon. If you want to support this show, right, you could just, you know, we give you bonus episodes. You go to patreon.com/comediansofwrestling right now for patrons, never get that right. We got a bonus episode with head writer of Impractical Jokers, Casey Jost. Jason Shapiro, who's in studio right now, is also on that episode.
What? I'm on that one too?
Yeah. And Casey Jost talking about going to WrestleMania with the Impractical, ooh, when you're being from Long Island. Hard to say stuff.
It is never practical to say Impractical Jokers.
Absolutely.
What's this dude?
So, yeah,
talking about going to WrestleMania 34 with the Jokers and how the wrestlers marked out super hard for the Impractical Jokers. They're just like us, man, those wrestlers. They're watching TV just like us.
I mean, wrestlers are the most accessible celebrity. They don't realize how popular they are.
Yeah.
Because I think they don't think they're like Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt, but they might have as many fans as those guys. But they still feel reachable. Like you could go up in the airport. They don't have security with them.
No.
Probably because they could fucking pile drive anybody who comes near them, but...
I was going through security with Bray Wyatt, who just dresses like Bray Wyatt when he goes through security.
Oh, he wears a leather butcher smock?
Yeah. No, not the smock, but he does. You know when he would wrestle just in that t-shirt, like a cut-off t-shirt and just like pants?
Yeah. Did he have fedora on?
He did not have the fedora on, but he had sunglasses on, which I guess he doesn't rock. He just looked like Bray Wyatt.
He's a very distinct-looking guy. Yeah. I think he just always looks like a fat guy with white man dreadlocks. Let me ask you this.
The funny thing is when he goes through the TSA thing, like, they told him to put his arms up, but he put his arms out first just as a natural progression, and I was like, and I thought he'd be like, TSA, we're here.
I'm going to get searched by you, man.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, was it Bray circa Mania 30 in a Hawaiian shirt?
No.
Okay.
Good. Not Jimmy Buffett Bray.
Tommy Bahama Bray.
No, it's a deletion Bray. This was at 34.
Smocked up.
Yeah. Anyway, also speaking of Patreon, we have a bonus episode that we're going to release for all of our new listeners just to give you a taste of Patreon because we were generous. On Monday, Thomas Middleditch in studio for free on the main feed just to show you what we're doing behind that paywall, baby.
Super famous actor Thomas Middleditch?
Yeah, man.
From HBO Silicon Valley?
The Silicon Valley Smasher.
Oh, man.
Donnie Verizon himself.
Got all that Verizon money.
Okay.
Did he give you any of that Verizon money?
No, but he did give me Magic the Gathering cards for free.
Nice guy. So you like pro wrestling and you also like Magic the Gathering?
I'm a huge nerd.
Can I just say, you're a cool guy, Dan Black.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. Shame. But I think yeah, so that's going to come out. Now, quickly, I owe the patrons a shout out on the show. Before we get into all that hot wrestling action, let's give some shout outs to some patrons. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea.
All right, let's give these shout outs to these patrons. All right, shout out to Joseph Kibler. Thanks for being a patron. Thanks for Jordan Eskenazi. Thanks for your support. Taylor McGray. Oh, I said that wrong, but Taylor, thank you so much for all your logos. She's making all these awesome cow logos that she's posting the Facebook page. They're dope. This one is a ECW one. It's
oh,
like,
nice.
But it says COW.
Very cool.
Very cool. Very tool. Very cool. Very tool. Michael Olette. All right, baby.
You should learn.
These aren't even that hard.
I know. You should learn how to pronounce all these guys' names. Like, as a gift to them for supporting your show, you should call them up and say, hey, how do I pronounce your name correctly?
They don't. That's not part of Patreon. Zachary Gerard. Thanks for having an easy name for me. Thank you. Makes me look smart. All right. Oh, hey, baby. Brandon Ward. Thanks for being a patron. Elizabeth Muller. Yeah.
See you, fourth wall.
All right. She got a different sound drop. And Corey Brown. Yeah, baby. John Silva.
Nice.
Yeah. Thomas McGee. Yeah, in the place to be. And I think I've pledged Jacob Levitt, Dan Forey, and Philip H. Yeah, all right. I think some of you got a double shout-out, so
nice.
That's okay.
I just want to say, for all the new listeners to the podcast, the first 20 minutes is we just read the patrons, and then talk about Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, this is a memorial for patrons.
Oh, all these people died. That's yeah. Basically what happens is they gave their last $5. It was in their will, goes to the COW show.
Absolutely. Now, okay, here's the last thing we're going to cover that I would cover under admin, okay?
Right.
Is
we're just doing some business right now.
Right. And this is just because we have an influx of listeners, so we gotta get them up to speed.
Right.
We want these jabroniacs ready for Money in the Bank.
Oh, my God. We got to get them ready.
So we have the Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page, right? Talk about wrestling at 4 in the morning, right? And it literally doubled in size overnight because of my stand-up clip, okay?
That's great. That's
Which
awesome.
Is exciting.
I'm excited to talk shit about all these people on Facebook. I'm like the heel of the Facebook group.
Absolutely. We love you for it. But I would say that, okay, so we have double the listeners, which is awesome, because we're trying to grow. The whole podcast, we want to grow. The one thing I would like to say is that everyone, our Facebook group is not just a place to just heel off recklessly, okay? This is a place we're trying to have a nice community of listeners of the podcast and professional wrestling fans to get your opinions out there, have fun, heated, respectful debates about the product at 4 in the morning sometimes. And, we're not going to tolerate any like racism, any kind of hatred, sexism. Let it go. Okay, it's not what we're doing in the group. So we've already had to report a couple people, which is kind of annoying.
Did you boot people out of the group?
Well, people are reporting it, but actually, it's been pretty. We have some really mostly been very positive.
I mean, it's a great group of people. I have so much fun in there. I mean, I say I'm healing off in there, but it's actually just like a good place to talk wrestling.
Yeah,
share clips, share memories. It's awesome.
We got a cash in for one of our listeners about the Facebook group.
That's great. Is it Nick Tulo?
Woo! Many of you already know who I am, but for the benefit of the studio audience and for the hundreds and thousands of jabroniacs listening at home, allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Jerk Mills, and now it's been a minute since I've cashed in, but I'm on my way to the gym to put a hurtin' on some chest buys and tries, and this pre-workout has me all kinds of fired up. See, a lot has changed since I last cashed in, and no, I'm not talking about Dan's garbage opinions and trash takes. I'm talking about the Facebook page, where you can talk about wrestling at midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., even 4
in
the fucking morning. And since Donnie's social media went viral last week, we've got not 100, not 200, not 300, not 400, but at least 500 new members, and it's only 10 o'clock on Tuesday, so it's bound to grow some more, and hey, if you're one of those new members, that's great, but you listen up and you listen good. If you're a troll, fuck you.
This is a troll.
If you're here to push your own garbage podcast, fuck you. If you're some 4chan Chris Benoit joke posting piece of fucking swamp trash, get the fuck out. Me and the COW originals, people like Tulo, Dick Show, Wetzel's Pretzels, the Queen Bee, Erinfinity, and even the goddamn Huff Nation have worked too long and too hard to make the Facebook community a welcoming, swamp-free spot for dumb wrestling marks. So if you think you want to be a part of that, you best come correct or you best not come at all. Have a nice day, you fucks.
Wow.
Let me say that is, as a man who prides himself on being able to cut a good promo, this was a really good promo.
Nice job, Jack Mills, longtime listener, jabroniac, and a patron.
I'm impressed, man. That was awesome.
A patron saint. So
we should start calling him a patron saint.
Okay, I love that.
That's great.
No, I mean, I think so. I don't want to get too into the viral clip. If you haven't checked it out, you can check it out on my Facebook page or on our Dan Black, or you can check it out on our Twitter at COW Podcast or my Twitter at D Black Attack. It's all on there if you want to check it out and you want to send it to some friends to prove to them why they shouldn't be watching sports and they should be watching professional wrestling. Quick thing I just want to say about that clip is I want to thank Anosh McAdams, our social media guy, for helping me cut that. I kind of last minute was like, let's post this. He took it. He transcribed it, put the captions in there, added the cow watermark on there. I'll know for next time to put my actual name on my clip.
Watermark your handles, baby.
But I just want to thank you for that. And I also want to say that is exactly how I feel. That, yes, it's a joke. But like all great jokes come from a place of truth. Professional wrestling is better than sports. Sports are boring. Professional wrestling is the best. The cash-in moment of Rollins was literally, I was standing with Shebs at the time at WrestleMania 31. It was one of the most exhilarating moments of my life. A guy joining a main event of an arena of 100,000 people. He wasn't in it. He cashed in. We didn't even know the rule. What happens when you cash in mid-match?
He lost a match earlier in the night.
Yeah.
He had lost his match, came back in a different match, and won the most coveted prize in the game, the WWE Championship.
Right. So I don't want to toot my own horn here, but I just want to say that, like, this comes from a place of how I really feel, and that's where I write, baby.
I think it was a magical moment for wrestling. It was a magical moment in our lives and a magical moment for our friendship.
Absolutely. Now let's get into some professional wrestling. What do you think?
I'm ready.
Okay, so lots to cover here. First thing we got to cover is, hey Sophie, did you see any of these clips of Finn Balor putting baby oil on his abs? I don't know if you guys know, I'm in New York, and so we have Sophie, the masturbating engineer. She saw a picture of Finn Balor 3 weeks ago and just has been spitting.
She hasn't stopped masturbating since.
And she's in a separate room here, so we never know what she's up to. And sometimes she's suspiciously quiet on the mic. We don't hear her for long stretches of time. It can't be because we're talking about pro wrestling and she's not interested. That's not what it is. It's because she's playing with herself. So, Sophie, have you seen Finn Balor
Yeah, I've caught wind of some of these, and all I got to say is, Finn, hi. Nice to meet you.
Absolutely.
Hello.
Yeah. Check out, I had said, we did another episode where I said that, like, I would love just, like, some kind of video package WB to cut of, like, Finn's abs, like, water rolling over rocks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
beautiful.
Said to,
we're
talking about me doing, like, a professional wrestling headspace.
Yeah.
And just talking about, like, all right, the water runs down Finn Balor's abs.
I would like to hear him talking about his ab routine with his beautiful, lilting Irish voice. I can't
hear
the accent.
He's Irish?
Yeah,
get out.
You didn't know that?
Oh, you
didn't
know that?
I don't think I did.
See you, fourth wall!
Now you know.
Whoa.
Does that make him more attractive or less attractive?
I think more.
I think so, too.
Yeah, so anyway, check, Sophie, while you're in there, we'd like you to just Google, look for Finn Balor baby oil, and check out the Facebook page. I had people post whatever hot Finn stuff they could for you on their, you know, the Facebook page, talking about Pro Wrestling 4 in the morning under his eye.
Also, but, one thing that Sophie, we might want you to note also, and this might break your heart, but there's at least a 25% chance that Finn Balor is part of the LGBT community. He might not be interested in you.
Well, in that case, I support him. And if he just needs someone to just kind of come over and hang out and then maybe like rub baby oil on his body, that's fine. Yeah, platonically.
Kathy Kelly. Okay, so we know that he's into ladies. Anyway, okay, let's talk about, let's start at the CM Punk fight.
Okay.
Okay, I like to talk about CM Punk because
he's awesome.
And I think the reason that CM Punk deserves our focus up top here on a go-home Money in the Bank weekend
is because he's CM motherfucking Punk.
Well, it's because he's CM Punk, but I think we're at like a pivotal point for him, right? Like, this is like critical mass. He's got to come back soon, right? Or he's got to make some kind of move here. So he had two UFC fights. I don't know if you saw the fight on Saturday. I was watching it live. It was bad. He got brutalized
by a guy named Michael Jackson.
This guy, that was his name, right?
His name was Mike Jackson. Yeah,
yeah.
Fucking moonwalked all over him.
This guy, the guy he was fighting was clearly a very bad fighter.
Yeah, both of their records were 0-1.
Right.
The only reason this guy got to fight in the UFC is because they needed someone bad enough.
With Punk might win.
Right, that he could potentially get a win in the UFC against.
Yeah.
It's hard to find fighters who are worse than these guys.
This guy not finishing Punk, like I've watched a lot of UFC. It was like, man, you can't finish this fight. You do not belong in UFC. This guy probably winning, I doubt, even on a win, I doubt he gets another fight in UFC.
He won
so poorly.
There's so many events and so many small cards.
Right.
And so many. He could be on the undercard of like a fight night. You know,
right.
Like, he could fight again, but he's not, unless he really steps it up, he's not long for this world at the UFC.
Right. So here's my question. So CM Punk's in there. How do you feel about CM Punk UFC fighting and losing twice? What does that do for you thinking about him coming back to pro wrestling? Factor in Ronda Rousey, where she lost twice, came back, but didn't have any wrestling pedigree. Where are you at with this?
Well, I mean, I think you're putting a lot for me to respond to, but I think someone in the Facebook group said that CM Punk is sort of like
the
UFC equivalent of what Ronda Rousey is doing to wrestling. Like, she came from a different world and popped in and got put to the head of the line. Like, CM Punk gets to fight in the UFC, there's hundreds, maybe thousands of fighters who don't even get that shot who are so much more deserving. Personally, as a huge fan of the UFC, it's not like I'm just like a wrestling mark. I'm also, as you know, Dan, a mega UFC mark. I work at SiriusXM Radio. I've covered MMA for SiriusXM before. I've gone to events. I've been on the air. So technically, I am an MMA expert. And as an expert, I'm saying I have no problem with CM Punk fighting in the UFC and getting that shot. Even if he gets a third fight, I have no problem with it. He's terrible in there. I just hope he doesn't get hurt. But it's a big draw. It's a money. The UFC is a company. They need to make money. I think that stunt of letting CM Punk fight just to make money is way less offensive to me than the WWE stunt of going to Jeddah. That stunt of doing the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Right.
That was offensive to me of taking the dirty Saudi money. But like, companies need to make money. So I got no beef with CM Punk getting that shot.
I had no beef with them fighting. I'm only, you know, as it's very well documented, I don't care about real sports.
Sure.
I'm saying, obviously, my priority is how do we get CM Punk back into wrestling?
We need him back.
And will he come in a way that feels like he should, like, satisfying? My thing is this, is like, I think those are all good points. I'm going to pivot to this point.
Pivot.
No one ever announces when they pivot. That,
see,
it derails the pivot.
No, you're breaking it's a seamless pivot. That's why you got to be like, seamless pivot.
Imagine if,
you need that sound drop.
If seamless pivot?
Yeah.
Seamless pivot?
If, all right, take that there. Shebs, do one so we can isolate it.
Check 1, 2. Seamless pivot.
Oh, there we go. Sound drop. That's, you see, that's a little making the bread behind the scenes. So I think I think that. I mean, that derailed
so
me entirely.
So derailed, I love it.
It derailed me entirely.
You're saying you just want CM Punk back in wrestling the right way.
Well, I'm saying that my thought is that CM Punk left in not a cool way, right? So it's he just, like, one day was gone. I mean, it's cool, but it's like there's not – it's not – he's due for a final chapter.
He didn't get, like, a big farewell like Ric Flair or something like that.
Yeah, or, like, yeah, I mean, or Shawn Michaels, you're right? Or, like – it's like he's so due for like that second run,
right?
And it's gonna he's potentially a guy who could do a second run that is like so epic.
Absolutely.
So it's like,
I mean, think about what Jericho does. Every time Jericho comes back, it's incredible. And CM Punk, I think, is, I'll say, like, he has just as much talent as Chris Jericho does. Like, if Jericho can do it, CM Punk can do it.
Absolutely. Those guys are on the same level.
Yeah,
in my
opinion, they're megastars.
Yeah. And it's not like what we want from CM Punk. He's in this unique spot where what we want from him is. Not, we don't need like a real hard work rate. Like we want him. We want to see him hold the microphone.
Yeah,
we want to see him heel off on McMahon. We want to see him lead the stable of Owens. Like of Zayn. Like all the indie guys who like clearly probably hate what WWE is doing, but just take the paycheck.
Well, all the guys that CM Punk paved the way for all those guys too. He's like the godfather of that whole movement.
Just think about this. I'm just spitballing. He could come in, cut a promo on Strowman, like, and just be like, "You suck,"
right?
And it would ruin Strowman.
It would.
Like, he can ruin guys.
He has
on
the
microphone.
Power to do that. He has the power to do that. But WWE would never want him to do that. Strowman's like their big cash cow right now.
Right.
He's such Vince's like baby boy. Like, he's such a good project for them. So I don't want to see him do that, but he definitely could. I respect that point.
Right.
I think CM Punk could come back and be a GM. He'd be an amazing GM.
But isn't it too corny for him?
Well, he's not going to do it, obviously.
Yeah.
And you said, like, he left and it wasn't a big deal. CM Punk doesn't want a big deal exit. He just wants to go. Like, the thing about CM Punk is he doesn't care and he doesn't need it. He's got all the money he needs. He's got all the fame he needs, so he could do whatever project he wants. If he wants to write a comic book, they let him write a comic book. He wants to fight in the UFC, they let him write in the
UFC.
Well,
they canceled his comic book. He was writing the Jax Destroyer book.
But he did it. I mean, I would love if someone canceled the comic book I wrote. I never had that shot yet.
I know. Well, I'm saying, no. That is one thing I admire about Punk, and this is where me and Arlen were kind of butting heads or whatever. I don't know, whatever. That's nuanced, but... is like I admire his willingness to fail publicly. Like, that is
ballsy.
That's ballsy.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm gonna go into the octagon, give it my all. Like, the odds are so stacked against him.
Sure.
He's like, I'm gonna believe in myself. He's living like he's in like space camp.
Yeah.
He's living a life of space camp.
100%.
Right? It's like
his wildest dreams are coming true. Whatever he wants to do, he goes for it. And that's awesome.
It's awesome. He's like, I earned it. I earned the right to, like, I'm going to go UFC fight, and who knows what he's going to do next.
Who knows? It's probably not wrestle. I mean, that's for sure.
He's going to be a Top Chef next.
He could easily
be... CM Punk Top Chef.
Punk Chef.
Punk Chef.
He gives you a mystery ingredient, and it's not drugs and alcohol.
Although, it's nothing. You got shallots and nothing else. But the thing with Punk is that if you put on like a chef's outfit, it would just look normal. Chefs are now like
the most tatted up profession. It used to be bikers and security guards and bouncers. Now the most tatted profession in America is chef.
Yeah, that's a fun fact there. We can look that up. Sophie, you want to confirm that for us? The most tatted profession is
chefs have tats.
Chefs.
Hey, just to speak of chefs and MMA crossover, because you used to be married to one. R.I.P. to Anthony Bourdain. He touched a lot of people. That was a recent passing, and we're talking about chefs. And
yeah.
I just want to give him a shout out on this podcast. That's not about Anthony Bourdain at all.
Someone wrote a post on my clip. The stand-up clip came out the day Anthony Bourdain died.
Way to overshadow the big story, Dan.
Which I was like, you know, man, like, I have no comment there. I don't want to say anything funny there. I really like Anthony Bourdain. I watched a lot of his stuff. He's a cool guy. But someone was just like, this feels like a joke Anthony Bourdain would have liked. R.I.P.
And Tony. And I got to tell you, I don't think Anthony Bourdain would have liked that joke.
That's what I thought. My thought was like, would he like a pro wrestling?
I think he would.
You like it because it's like cynical or it's like strong opinion?
Both.
But people are so comfortable saying shit like that.
People are throwing his name out anywhere it fits right now. They just want to talk about Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah. You go.
I just say that is such a funny leap. Like, where else in the world on a podcast are people talking about jokes Anthony Bourdain would have liked?
I don't know.
What a far cry from like
it
anything.
It felt sincere too. It felt like someone was like, "Yeah, like I feel like you would have liked this." Like, I don't know. I mean, you can't tell because there's no.
Did he like wrestling?
I don't think so.
I don't
someone
think
just
so.
was just conflating two things that happened that day. Yeah, I don't know. But I would say that I would like to think that would be cool because I like Andy Bourdain a lot. I like to think Kate Spade would like my joke.
Sure.
I like those. I like they're both. I mean, both people yeah.
Shannon Hoon, lead singer of Blind Melon. I hope he would have liked it too.
Absolutely.
You know what this also reminds me of?
I would. If you think Kurt Cobain would like my joke?
I think Kurt Cobain would have loved
it. Is this
jokes.
Insensitive?
It's very insensitive. Okay. The Kurt Cobain thing, particularly, is still too fresh of a wound
yeah.
for me as a big Nirvana fan. You know what this is reminding me of also? Yeah. The Anthony Bourdain.
Is this an edit, Sophie? Was that an edit?
Nah, we're good.
Okay. Nah, we're good.
This okay. is the Anthony Bourdain would have liked my stand up clip. It yeah. reminds me so much of when Justin Bieber went to Anne Frank's house in Amsterdam.
Oh, yeah?
he wrote in the guest book, Anne Frank seems no. cool. I think she would have been a believer.
Oh my God.
And it's like, what are you fucking serious?
I mean, imagine if I was the kind of guy who posted it and wrote like, hey, I'm glad this joke did well today. Like, I think Anthony Bourdain would have liked it.
Really means a lot on a day like this when the world needs comedy that he would have liked.
I mean, it would be cool. That's a pro wrestling move, but
or what if other people started watching? It's like, oh, did you see the clip that Bourdain would have liked?
Yeah.
The big Bourdain joke this week? Is that a wrestling stand up?
Yeah. Here's the other thing I want to say about my clip.
Yeah.
And not, it's not this is an interesting thing. It was it shined a light on like sexism to me in a way that was very interesting. Like I got no comments, like almost no negative comments.
Right.
Nothing about my appearance.
Right,
nothing.
Right.
Nothing. No one wrote like, oh, he's a fucking fat slob.
Right.
No one wrote like, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Like no one wrote anything like, you know what I mean?
And look, you know a lot of women were thinking it. They were all thinking I wouldn't.
Well, I was hoping to become a sex symbol after
right.
my viral video about wrestling. But
Tony Bourdain would have loved it.
Tony Bourdain. But my wife will do like any stand-up clip.
Sure.
And half of the comments
50%
are being like, pretty funny for a chick I'd want to fuck, or like,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Like nice cans, babe.
I don't know. Just saying.
And then she gets DMs of people being like, I really liked your stand-up. What bra size are you?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying.
The world sucks, man.
Very interesting.
It's a very different world for men and women. I like to say that I won the lottery 3 times by being born. The first for being white, the second for being a man, and the third for being an American. I'm a triple lottery winner already. A white man in America.
I mean,
we don't have to face fucking so much shit that people are putting up with.
Yeah. It's a definition of privilege sitting there wearing your your 30s wearing a professional wrestling t-shirt and a professional wrestling chalk line jacket.
I went to
walking
work
around as a respected human being.
I went to work today at my corporate job wearing a Randy Orton RKO Legend Killer shirt and a Zuba's sleeved Razor Ramon chalk line jacket. You better believe I'm dripping in privilege.
All right, we got to move on, right?
All right.
Okay, so all right, so CM Punk, we were talking about him.
Yes.
His title reign was now surpassed by Mr. Brock Lesnar, now holding the Universal title, different belt, mind you.
Right.
But this was a big stink on the internet, saying that now Lesnar has the longest title reign of any heavyweight.
Fits for me, man. Why shouldn't he? Whoever doesn't like Lesnar, they're being too IWC market. They're being too fanboy. They don't get what wrestling's about. It's about entertainment. It's about making money. It's about spectacle. And let me be honest with you, Brock Lesnar would kick the shit out of any of these people in real life.
Well, we know for a fact he can beat up CM Punk. We can do that Carmella math, right? Of like, sure, just being like, okay, so Charlotte beat Asuka, and I beat Charlotte twice.
Right.
So I'm twice as good as Asuka. Love that math, by the
way. Great math. Mella is math.
Mella is math. Oh, we got to print that shirt up.
Fashion.
But, Brock Lesnar wins real UFC fights at a heavyweight division. So he can beat the shit out of Punk. Now, doesn't matter at all. It's just interesting.
It doesn't matter. But
people are complaining because Brock, in his 430-day reign, had 10 title defenses. And CM Punk instead had like 150. It was definitely counting house shows,
by the
way.
He had 150 title defenses.
Those were definitely house show defenses in there, too. My thing is this. I wrote this post. I was like, that is a cool meme. It was a meme, of the two of them, like, tail of the tape style next to each other, holding the belts, being like, and you see it, and you immediately have your first snap judgment on it, which is like, well, that's bullshit.
Right.
Then you take a step back, and you're like, there's something cool about Brock Lesnar that he's such a specialty piece.
Right.
Like, that he's such a novel, like, when he comes out of his cave to fight, he is a prize fighter.
Yeah.
He is what Mayweather is. He is, right? Which is exactly what Chris Jericho on record is going for on the indie scene.
Totally.
He's like, when I wrestle,
it's
I'm only making six figures.
Right. And he's a huge deal.
Right.
His matches are awesome.
He's like, they asked me to do All In.
said, no, I'm not lowering my value.
Oh, so
I'm
awesome.
Only making six figures.
Right, and somehow it's cool when Jericho does it, but it's no good when Lesnar does it.
No, so the problem with the Lesnar thing, it's like, so what I'm saying is that I love
There's him. No problem with the Lesnar thing.
Well, Lesnar has beaten, look, let's go through it. He's beaten almost all of the big threats. He destroyed, think about how this goes back. He destroyed Taker,
right.
who's like unbeatable.
Well, Taker at Mania.
Whatever.
He destroyed Taker at Mania when the streak was still intact.
Right. But then he beat the shit out of him every match after,
sure.
too. Right? In Hell in a Cell, which is his yard.
He got hit in the junk one time.
Right. He beat Brock. He beat Randy. He beat Roman Reigns.
Right.
He beat Samoa Joe.
He destroyed Cena to get the belt.
He destroyed Cena, which was the start of it.
He ripped Orton's head off. He made
right.
a huge gash in Randy Orton.
Right. He beat
He killed Reigns.
Samoa Joe.
Not nah, throwing
AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Everybody.
He is the best wrestler. That's
so,
it. He's the number one guy.
Yeah, and whether you like it or not, on paper, he has no reason to be around.
Right.
No one is even in his league.
That's true.
Just on paper.
The only people that I think, and mark my words.
Which is cool.
It's
my
very,
point is that that's cool.
Yes,
my point is that that is cool. The problem is that we know Lesnar doesn't care about this business.
You know what? I think he cares about it more than he ever did before.
Right.
I think he loves the spot he's in. They've made a situation for Brock Lesnar where he's happy and we're happy. And that wasn't the case before.
Right.
He was always a big deal. Since the moment look at Lesnar when he debuted. If you think he looks crazy now, look at him when he was a young guy. It looks like his muscles were about to pop open through his skin. Clearly, he was jacked up on roids. But like he looked like he was ready to explode. He looked so intimidating and so crazy. He was always a specialty piece. And now he's just at a zone where he's an older talent. They get to wrestle a lighter schedule. And we need him around as much as he'll be around. We'll take it.
Right.
You know? And I love it.
But now when he loses, it's going to be such
it's gonna
a
be
big
mega.
Deal. And it feels like it might not be Reigns.
You know what? They're going to fuck up if they give it to Reigns. The two people I think could beat him are Strowman and, in a weird like shenanigan style, Seth Rollins. I think Rollins or Strowman are the two who have the claim to maybe take that title off of Lesnar because Rollins is such the next face of
right.
this company that he'd be a good guy to give that
the
rub to.
Strowman
because
totally
he's Strowman,
agree.
Obviously.
The only thing they're doing wrong is the storytelling of Brock Lesnar. Is when he comes back, he acts like he acts in ring like I like being here, like I'll kick your ass. It's like he acts like he's there every week. I think, like, they had the one week where Vince said, does he get special privileges?
Yeah, yes.
You betcha.
Yeah. Does Brock get a special feature? Special privileges?
Me and Brock have a special relationship.
Special relationship. I love that. But I'm saying, and then, so he should act like a guy who gets a special privilege.
Sure, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And he should come in and just make no one, there's no one. I would come here, but there's no one. And you know what? To be honest, this place is not worth my time. I'll be at home. Cooking steaks.
Hunting venison.
Yeah, absolutely. Just destroying deers. Because to be honest, those deers are more of a challenge than anyone here. And then you should show clips of them at home. Just being like, sorry guys, on his phone. Forgot to come to Raw tonight. I know I was booked, but I forgot because it's not interesting to me.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's like,
if
maybe
they do
I'll
that,
get on top of my wife later. You know, Sable.
Yeah. Well, that's what he said. He said
that.
He
said when he won the title
in
UFC.
If he did that, it would be awesome.
Yeah.
And then people are like, he doesn't put on good matches. It doesn't matter.
Sure he
first
does.
Off, he does put on good matches.
Sure he does.
He puts on classic monster destroyer matches.
He puts on the right match for his style.
Well, so that's what I'm saying is that, like, so what I don't like about Brock is, like, there's a lot of guys he's not around a lot, and it's not done well. It's not done in this way. It's becoming it just out of sheer time.
Right.
Where it's like, because of this mess up they had at Mania where they didn't give it to Reigns, and then it's like, oh, maybe it won't go to Reigns. Now it's becoming interesting. It's like, who is the guy who's going to beat Lesnar? So the longer his title reign goes at this point, based on what they've kind of fell into, the longer it goes, the more powerful the Universal title, which is a title
right.
that needs
it needs it,
it. Needs some
Lesnar
some,
rub because
right.
the history of it before is Finn won the belt first, which was like, I mean, look, I love Finn, but like that's who you're gonna put your marquee title on,
yeah.
Like, as the first guy, I don't know.
Yeah.
Then it went to Kevin Owens, who is great, but again, not like this mega intimidating
right.
guy.
He also didn't win it fair and square.
Right. And then it went to Goldberg, who, look, no one loves Bill Goldberg more than me. I got an autographed Bill Goldberg WWE Universal title in my house right now as a gift from Adam Letterman for being a groomsman.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But He's the man.
Is it a full size one?
It's a toy one, so it's like half size. Yeah. The full size one would have been like $400 without the autograph. Look, I'm
getting. It's a fantastic gift.
It's a fantastic groomsman gift. Letterman really knows how to treat a guy right. The point is, I love Goldberg, but that's not a guy who's going to make your belt worth a damn in 2018. Lesnar having this for 400 days makes the Universal title everything they want it to be, the bigger of the two titles.
Yeah. So anyway, we could talk about this forever, but I'm saying is that right now. Comparing it to Punk, that's what I always call it, like lazy talking points.
It's lazy
like,
talking points, for
like,
sure.
That's like a product of the 24/7 news cycle,
right.
And this podcast existing, where it's like we need something to say, but really look at it. When right. Lesnar shows up, it's like, oh, Lesnar's here.
Yeah,
I've even had pro wrestlers be like, oh, it's cool, Lesnar's on the show tonight.
Right,
like,
totally.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Right.
I got a couple real quick Lesnar points.
Go.
I know we got to move on.
No, that's fine.
But here's a couple things I want to say about Lesnar. One. He's such a big deal. One time I was at a restaurant with my fiance, and I was just trying to explain to her about Brock Lesnar. And I was like, oh, look, he was in the UFC. He had the most title defenses in the UFC at the time, and he was one of the biggest deal wrestlers. He's just awesome. I mean, you're not going to understand until you see him. A waiter walks by and goes, you guys talking about Brock Lesnar?
Yeah.
And I go, yeah. And he goes, he's a beast. And then walks away.
Right? He's a beast.
Another thing I wanted to say about Lesnar. The WWE always tries to solidify their guys as the guys, right? That's why Cena had to tie Flair's title-holding record, because Flair wasn't always in the WWE. Cena one day is going to beat that Flair record. Same thing. Why the fuck would WWE want Punk to have the longest title reign? They don't even like Punk. He doesn't deserve to have the biggest title reign in the WWE's annals of history. Cena does. You know, Hogan could have. The Rock or Stone Cold, if they had the longest reign, that would make sense. Why? I think Punk is great, but he's not that type of company marquee guy that he should have the longest title reign. It should definitely be Brock Lesnar. So whoever's complaining about that makes no sense to me whatsoever. And the last point I'll make about Brock Lesnar, I know I'm doing it rapid style, and you've sort of been hinting at it, but when he walks out of his cage, it is a special moment.
He's a rancor, baby.
When I see Brock Lesnar, and I've seen him live a bunch of times.
Brock Lesnar.
When he walks out on that ramp, it looks like you're seeing a white Bengal tiger in the jungle and you're 5 inches from his face. It's a magical thing. It is a true beast in the wild. It is intimidating. It is exquisite. It is humbling. It is exciting. It is magical.
Humbling.
It is everything. It is an awesome, awesome feat of nature that this guy exists. When I see Punk walk out, I go, hey, cool wrestler. I like this guy. When I see Brock walk out, I go, holy fucking shit.
Yeah. Oh, I don't have the holy motherfucking
shit. Holy motherfucking shit.
I don't have the drop here.
Look at this
guy.
He's something special. As a guy who's seen him live, up close and personal, there's no one like Brock Lesnar on the planet.
All right, just for time, let's get a cash in on CM Punk. You want to hear it?
I would love to.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Josh Huff of HUF of HUFF. So nice you spell it out twice. Huff Nation, and I got two Huff takes for y'all real quick. First Huff take, if you're new to the Facebook group, what up? Don't be a dick. Let's break that common record on Sunday, because Money in the Bank is this weekend, baby. Hell yeah.
Beautiful.
Comment number two. CM Punk was born to become a professional wrestler. I respect him for quitting something he was unhappy with and going to pursue something that made him happy. But unfortunately, he was really bad at the thing he went to go pursue. Did you guys watch the fight on Saturday?
Saw it.
Good gracious, ass got beat bodacious. Nelly reference in that. He did fucking terrible. He needs to go back to wrestling. I would love to see him take a break, because I know he's been through a lot with the trial and all that, and I'm sure training's really bad. And just, I would love to see him come back to pro wrestling. Maybe go to New Japan or Ring of Honor, figure out why he fell
right
into professional wrestling some odd years ago, then maybe make a WWE return down the line, get his Hall of Fame bid because he deserves it. He was such a good professional wrestler. I would even say one of the best of his time. So hopefully he comes back soon. Other than that, Huff Nation.
All right. Nice. Cool. So you want CM Punk to come back. Great. So do we.
Hot take.
All right. Moving on. Good stuff. I love the auto-tune. I like what happens when you speak in auto-tune. It just kind of cuts out.
It sounds normal. Then every once in a while, I give you a little note.
Yeah. You have to go like, and then it really fucking jukes.
And I just want to say one thing. There are many custom intros, but mine is the best. I am the king of the custom intro.
All right. Moving on. Okada, Omega. So I think we're going to do a... Look, what can you say about this match? Was fucking incredible. If you haven't seen it,
two out of three falls.
If you haven't
wonderful.
Seen this match, check it out. I always say with New Japan, love what they're doing in New Japan. Man, that app is garbage. I can't find anything on there. I mean, fix the thing.
It's awful.
I pay $10 a month for this thing.
You use it on the app or on the website?
I go through the website.
I go through the website. I can't find. Today I wanted to watch it on your account because I don't pay for it. And
yeah.
You do.
On my account, 4 in the morning.
So I was trying. I couldn't find the Okada Omega match in English. Like, I couldn't. Why is that not the. Like the first or second thing on their website. Like
you gotta choose Japanese or English. It's like you can't tell I'm in the U.S. I'm nowhere near Japan.
That's
man.
Fine. I don't mind clicking the button that says make this site in English. But there's two videos. There's one video where the commentary is Japanese.
Yeah, yeah.
One video, totally different file where the commentary is English. And I couldn't find it. It took me 20 minutes. I couldn't find it. Finally, I'm just like, I'll watch it in Japanese. I have a better chance just googling it, and then I just watched the feed off Google on Daily Motion. Shout out to Daily Motion pirating videos.
4 in the morning.
4 in the morning.
Yeah. No. It's annoying, but the match is incredible. I always say about New Japan, it's like, what do you say? I mean, incredible. Those guys are amazing. My point about Omega is like the guy has such an eye for this business.
Yeah.
I mean, great pants. I mean, every time the guy is he's got.
He recreates his look a little bit, and it's always on point.
He's bleached blonde now.
He's Golden Lovers, baby.
Yeah. The guy's amazing and long overdue to win that belt. And
yeah.
That I mean, I love the way that IWGP Championship, that belt
is
so
a hunk of gold. You
nice.
Know my philosophy.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to have a hunk of gold.
But I like the WWE belts, too.
They're fine.
Yeah.
But the WCW hunk of gold was better.
It is better, but I like WWE has, I don't know, I like the aesthetic
the
of the
Rock
WWE
and Stone Cold personalized belts, hunk of gold.
Yeah.
The Double Eagle, hunk of gold. You need that hunk of gold right in the middle, otherwise it's not an adequate prize.
But WWE has, they do good, they got good leathermanship. Okay?
Look, you can have
you
the
see
best.
The divots in the leather?
Love their
look
divots.
Look closely at the WWE belt, they got divots in the leather.
Quality leather work. They just need a hunk. Look, what if that belt was.
There's a conversation about this. They're like, hey, let's get about, we get some divots in the leather. Can we get some
of
divots?
Course. Look, let me tell you something. Whatever they're doing those belts, they look fine, but do you remember when that Universal title debuted? I was in the house that night. I go to a lot of wrestling shows. I sat on the floor.
That SummerSlam last
SummerSlam
year.
SummerSlam 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I took a break last year from life, but 2 years ago I went to
That's
SummerSlam.
That's where Seth Rollins debuted the neon green pants.
He won.
Which when he wears, they don't fit him. At, like,
no.
No, they fit him. Like size wise,
right?
But
they don't look
don't,
his character.
They don't brand it with, well with him.
Are you
but
sure
they still
he
look
wore
dope.
That at that SummerSlam?
Yeah, that's when he debuted those.
Okay.
That's, and when he killed Bray Wyatt.
Okay.
I mean, Finn Balor. Sorry,
right,
Sophie.
When he
Sophie
injured
Masbury
him,
distracted me.
All I could hear is all that bean flicking. All right. So look. So
wow.
When he won, when he fought for that Universal title, the crowd was booing and chanting that it was an ugly, stupid belt.
Yeah.
They don't know how to design titles anymore. I like that WWE centerpiece, but. How much better would it be if it was a hunk of gold that had that WWE logo on it?
Okay, well, we can get into that. For time, I don't want to get into that.
Hunk of gold.
Yeah, yeah. One thing I
Hashtag
will point
hunk
out,
hunk of gold.
The kind of stuff that we point out here. Check out AJ's title. You can see on SmackDown this week, SmackDown. If you look close, one of the jewels is a different color.
Really?
And I was like, 1 week, I was like, it must have fell out and they'll fix it. They haven't fixed it. Okay. It's on the top. On the top. This is the shit.
What an
that-
eye for the business you have. What a discerning eye Dan Black has.
I love it. All the pageantry
of
stuff.
Course.
So I'm like looking at guys' pants, you know, like I'm always focusing on like where they cut their shirts and stuff. And as I was looking at AJ's beard pretty closely this week.
You got to take a closer look.
Well, I don't know why he doesn't do a full beard. I know because he's gray.
It's because he's a redneck.
But it looks so
rednecks
much-
has traditionally always had poor facial hair choices.
Hey.
The neck beard, the Amish. The little.
What's this dude?
Yep. All right.
But I think that the Amish, the Corbins.
Yeah.
Corbin has a full Amish. Well, we'll get into this.
The chin strap.
The chin.
Rednecks have always had bad facial hair.
Anyway, look for that. Look for that. One of those jewels is off.
Okay.
Anyway,
so
and also look for the fact that Jinder Mahal always has a cut on his nose. Always.
Yeah, you mentioned
always,
that.
Always has a cut on his nose. It
you know
doesn't
why?
Heal.
He's in an abusive relationship with Sunil Singh. Before they go out, he gives him a backhand to the face.
That's what you think it is? I think it's because he sleeps face down.
Because he wears a very tight breathe right strip to prevent his snoring.
Okay, so
we're talking Omega.
Next, Omega Okada. So here's the thing is, like, I want to see Omega in WWE.
Of course.
I want to see him come in with the Bucks.
Yeah.
I want him come in with together. And for AJ.
Sure.
And I want to pick up where he left off being like, that's you have my spot. You know, I want that, and I want, and I don't want Finn to do anything to do with it.
Finn is kind of
Finn is now a different
thing. As the guy who started the Bullet Club, he has really nothing to do with any Bullet Club anything anymore.
Yeah. So
here's the thing.
They went public, and he got ousted. He's right, not on the board. Right. The board ousted
What's the Facebook guy? What's the kid's name?
Mark Zuckerberg.
No, Andrew Garfield played him.
Yeah.
What was his name? Sophie. What's the
Jesse Eisenberg?
No.
Sorry, what?
The guy that Andrew Garfield played in the Facebook movie.
I know who you're talking about. He played Justin Timberlake.
No, the one who got ousted. He's the one who got ousted from Facebook.
You talking about the twins? No, I know who you're talking about. The guy who's
like a Latin sounding name, perhaps.
Yeah, let me see.
Oh, I think his name was Adrian Sienna almost.
Okay.
Okay, Sierra Hotel.
But Andrade.
Andrade, sorry.
So is Kenny Omega the best professional wrestler working today?
Yes, number one.
Number one. Than AJ?
Better, yeah.
I think I might be with you on this. I think he's the greatest talent. He just, like you said, he just gets it. Everything is always on point. His moveset, his in-ring posing, his taunts, his mic skills, his promos, his look changes, his outfits.
He's also, and he's ahead of the curve with the sexuality thing.
Right.
I mean, like, he's ahead of the business. He is the business.
He's doing what Finn Balor for everyone and WWE is afraid to go that far with.
Yeah.
He's going there, and it's great. It's working. People are ready for that.
So I'm saying it's like Kenny Omega, the Omega Okada match.
Kenny Omega never looked in better shape than during that match. He looked incredible.
Yeah. The only thing, I think he juices.
All of these guys juice.
And so it's fine. He'll come to WWE. He'll be okay. But I mean, he's going to come to WWE, right? Like, I think winning this belt, like, what's he going to do after?
Right.
He's going to ride this out for a year or two, and then he's gonna be like, well, it's time. What else do you do?
But the thing is this.
Going to WWE is where he can slow his work rate, right?
Right.
Like, kill these guys.
Right.
They wrestle a lot less, but I mean, they hit them. These guys fall on their necks. Yeah, like, some of these falls are terrible.
And they're wrestling like hour and a half long matches, you know? Like, this 203 falls match was
so
long.
It's so good. But
it's great.
Here's the thing.
It's awesome.
So that match, we're going to do the Cal LaCroix cocktail contest number two. Okay.
Love it.
We'll be a Patreon for the patrons bonus episode.
For the patrons.
We're going to watch that match, get drunk. Everyone knows what happens when Alex Newman, he gets drunk. He doesn't drink ever. He gets drunk. He gets rowdy. Ronda Rousey, and we're going to do that match, okay? Because my own thing with these New Japan matches is they're amazing. They're better than WWE. Like, guys, you know, I'm a WWE mark. Not a shill, a mark. Mm-hmm. I'm a WWE mark. It's easier. Like, there's not much to say. You just kind of are like, I always say this, fucking fantastic match.
Great match.
When something's good, it's hard to, what do you criticize? Here's what I like. You guys know what I like. Everything.
This match, it was lovely.
I want both of these guys in WWE.
Sure, it was great. But the thing is, WWE has just such a better overall package.
I want him in America. Like,
I don't want him. I mean, he's coming to America.
I want them on American TV. I'm sick of this app. I'm sick of the fact that I wake up and I see Omega holding the belt.
Right.
I've never watched a New Japan match without knowing the finish before.
Right. Well, that's just because
I even saw a GIF of the finish.
Right.
Of the, you know, of like the V-trigger or whatever on the ropes into the one-winged angel. I saw that already.
What a great moveset this guy has.
He just gets it.
He's awesome. Yeah. I can't wait for him. The last thing I'll say about him is that I just hope he doesn't come too late where he's not going to be able to main event WrestleMania, because it'll take him at least 2 years after coming to the company to main event a Mania. That's how long it took AJ, basically.
Yeah.
He's not going to do it quicker. They're not going to bring him in and then put him to the top right away.
I think you might be wrong.
About that?
I think Omega is going to be a guy who something is going to be different. Because AJ came in, AJ paved the way, almost like a Punk paved the way for Brian.
For DB Plus?
Yeah, for DB Plus. You call him that.
I call him that, and soon everyone will call him that.
Okay, so we'll get into Daniel Bryan, but I'm saying I think Omega is going to be a guy. I read an article that they offered them really big money,
right?
But it could be fake. It was like from like, you know, some website.
It's all the work. Nick Tullo knows.
Yeah. So anyway, cool. Let's move on. Money in the Bank. Let's get into it. So let's just get, I mean, we can go into Raw and SmackDown, but I think let's just start. This is the go-home show for Money in the Bank. I'm jonesing for a PPV.
Yeah, I mean, they finally are doing something right.
Right. And so Money in the Bank is kind of like the start of, it's almost like the start of the new road to WrestleMania, right?
No.
No, I'm just saying we're far away from it. We have SummerSlam and stuff.
Yeah.
But it starts painting the picture of like one of these people are going to cash in close to Mania potentially cash in at Mania, right? Mm-hmm. So and or after, but it's like it
yeah, it's interesting. So let's talk about the women's match first.
I want to say this on paper, this is a good pay-per-view.
I think the pay-per-view looks awesome. And I'm excited to watch it.
And co-branding the pay-per-views is a huge idea. So much smarter to do it this way because no one gave a shit about exclusive brand pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And there was too many of them. I just want to get these points out for new listeners who haven't heard us say this a million times. They're on the right track right now, and this is the first of an era of like, oh, the pay-per-view thing makes more sense now. Spread them out, do less of them, make them all co-branded.
Combining the pay-per-views was a very obvious good move.
Obvious.
We're not afraid to fend the fight. I have that drop on here normally. Here's the women. Here's who are the competitors.
Yeah.
And then I want to ask you who you think should win, who you think will win. Cool. So the women, Sasha Banks, Natalia, Charlotte, Becky Lynch, Ember Moon, Alexa Bliss, Naomi, and Lana Crush.
Right.
Who do you think should win?
Well, definitely not Lana or Naomi. I think Alexa Bliss would be great with the Money in the Bank, but she's already had such a big year, she probably doesn't need it.
Right.
Becky Lynch, I hope they don't give it to, but maybe that would give her some good. Charlotte doesn't need it, even though she said this is the only on SmackDown, this is the only thing she hasn't done yet, which is true. She doesn't need it. She's not going to win. Sasha,
it is the only thing she hasn't done, right?
Yeah, but
you don't need it.
She said on SmackDown, she was like, I had the NXT Women's Championship, the Divas Championship, the Raw Women's Championship, the SmackDown Women's Championship. I've done everything you could do. I mean, she'll win a Rumble at some point.
Which, by the way, brings up my thing about, like, and this we'll just parlay this into SmackDown, time to talk about the SmackDown. Actually, I think I have the new SmackDown theme song. You want the new? This is the old. For the new listeners.
Keep going. Do the whole song.
Smack down. Used to be on Thursday, then moved to Friday. It went back to Thursday.
It's Tuesdays.
It was recorded on Tuesday. You know what it is.
Smack down.
How long is this?
It was a long time.
Why did you listen to all of that?
It was impromptu, just to distract us. But then this is the new SmackDown theme song.
You're going
to
play another theme song right now?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think this is what we need right now.
Yeah.
SmackDown coming back to Friday. SmackDown, it's on Friday. 1 billion deal on Fox. SmackDown on Fox. SmackDown.
Wow, good lyrics here. Great lyrics by Dan Black.
SmackDown, yeah. Right now it's on Tuesdays, and it's SmackDown Live, but it's moving to Fridays in October 2019. Fox SmackDown, know what I mean.
All right.
Good job. Great theme song.
All right.
Do you have a third theme song we can play right now?
Yeah, I do. You ready for it?
Okay.
No, I don't.
Okay.
All right. All right, anyway.
So you asked me who I think should win and who I think will win.
Yeah. So, I was saying Charlotte said on SmackDown, my point.
Yeah.
God, it always derails. What the fuck was
I
talking about?
I know.
But my point about Charlotte was, I'm going to find it. She said she hasn't won anything. She hasn't. Oh, yeah. But it means, like, you don't need to win. She doesn't need it.
It's for up-and-comers.
She doesn't need it.
She's not an up-and-comer. She never will be an up-and-comer.
I was talking about the fact that they did, like, resume rundowns.
Yeah.
Then they called it out. And it was my exact note, which was like, this is boring.
Right.
Like, this is so boring to just be like, you know why I'm going to win?
Right.
Here's why I'm going to win.
Right.
Actually, it's so stupid. It's
right.
It's babying. I hated it.
Yeah.
What were you saying? So who do you think's gonna win?
I'm afraid they might give it to Sasha.
Yeah.
Ember Moon, I think, is way too soon. I think it's a mistake.
Factoring the Natty angle?
So that's what I was gonna say. I think that they will give it to Natty because I think that sets up something interesting with Ronda.
Right. Because where else are they going with this?
Well, I think what I'd prefer, honestly, I would love them to give it to Alexa. I love Alexa. I love everything she does. I think she's the best talent in the women's division. period, overall. So her with the briefcase is just too good. You know, like, if she doesn't do it now, when's she going to do it? It's just too good of an opportunity. I would like it to be Alexa, and here's what I would like to happen, because there needs to be some schmoz with the Rousey Nia, because I don't think Rousey is ready to win, or should she win. I don't think she's also ready to lose, or should lose, right? That'd be bad for her.
Yeah, you think it's got to be schmozed up.
I think Alexa should win and then schmoz it out immediately. Just cause some sort of bullshit where, like, none of them, not that she, I don't think Alexa needs to win, but, like, she should come in, fuck shit up, and then maybe Nia still retains or something like that.
Yeah, Alexa could win, hold the briefcase, come in during the Nia Jax match, and, like, when they're both down, they both beat each other up. Alexa catches in Rollins style.
Right, exactly.
That night comes in, but then Natty comes in,
protects
Rousey, and then Rousey misunderstands and then knocks out Natty or something.
There's a lot of juice there. Or I think what could happen is she just comes in with the briefcase, knocks them both out, DQ, no belt, like, so that no one feels like they lost.
Here's the thing.
And Alexa's the perfect person to do that.
I think the Money in the Bank briefcase is like, man, this is a deep cut, but this is really nerdy, but it's like the Planeswalker for professional wrestling.
Wait, you're going hard.
So, like, in Magic the Gathering, they introduced a new kind of card, okay, that I was like, that's awesome, and it makes my interest in this game super elevated.
Yeah.
So my point is that they made a card that's like another player. Like, here's this card is you. You're playing, this guy's your ally. Great. Love it. Not important.
Right.
Okay?
Well, basically, it took the mechanics of Magic the Gathering,
flipped them on its head,
added a completely new thing that was never in the game
for 15 years.
It truly did change the game as we know it.
Right. So that's my point, is that, like, I hold the Money in the Bank personally in such a high esteem. Like, it's so important to me. Like, giving it to Natty, it bums me out.
Right.
It bums me out when someone who I don't care about wins it.
Right.
Natty, or like don't see potential in wins it. So, like, last year I was bummed about Corbin, but he's in the middle ground because I don't see a lot of potential. Now I see more potential in Corbin.
No one hated Corbin more than me. I thought he was such a guy who needed to get fired, just wasting a spot. But now that he's got new hair, which we'll talk about later, I see a little change in his
fortune. Well, Corbin has an amazing haircut, but let's choose the women and then we can get it. Corbin's not in that match, but we'll get into it in a second.
I think that it's going to go to Natty because that's the storyline they want to play. I hope it goes to Alexa. So again, she just needs to come in during that title match, not even use the briefcase, just hit them both over the head with it, DQ it, none of them look weak, dunzo, and now she just makes a statement, I'm going to take this belt one day.
Right. You think it's possible Sasha is up to win it, and then we have Bayley come and fuck it up for her? We have Bayley heel turn.
I think that's way too big of a position to put Bayley or Sasha.
She can't handle that.
I don't think Bayley could handle a big heel turn like that.
I think my pick for who I now looking at it. So you're saying Bliss should win.
I think Bliss should, and I think Natty will.
I think my choice is Bliss as well, because Bliss with the case is just like a great year.
It's a no-brainer
angle for her. She's not gonna have the title. And she can't wrestle that great.
Right.
Like, so her as a case personality.
Mega.
Is, like, great. It worked really well for Carmella, and I think it'll work really well
even
for
Alexa.
Even
better for Bliss. I think Bliss should have the case every year.
And also, it keeps Alexa Bliss relevant.
Sure.
While allowing them to push other talent.
Mm-hmm.
So that Alexa doesn't fall into that gray area where they don't have her in a title match at Mania 35. But then she still is, like, a threat.
In the mix. Yeah. Being a former champ is tough. Because it's like you already went to the top of the mountain. Anything you do now just seems like, we don't care.
It's like AJ US title run.
Right. And like what happened to Rollins after he was champ. He had a year or two where he just... Burn it down! I mean, he had to burn it down because it was no good.
Yeah.
But now he's back.
Yeah, so, all right. So I'm going to pick Bliss. I think they're going to go back. I think Ember Moon is... The case won't help her. I think the other things I would say, Lana is actually a cool person to carry the case.
Sure, sure.
But she just, it's like, what's the, wrestle.
The coolest
but the
guy,
only,
right?
The only, if they want to give Lana a title, this is the only way to do it.
Totally, but why do they need to give her a title? I mean, nothing would be cooler than Mr. and Mrs. Money in the Bank if Rusev and Lana won.
Yeah.
But I don't think either of them are going to win this case, and it's not that great
of
an
angle. Mr. and Mrs. Sasha Banks is a good, it's not her branding. Cashing in doesn't fit her brand. Her brand is like she's a good wrestler. Like she needs to be a heel, and she needs to lean into the boss gimmick. You know, that's my big note for Sasha this week. I realized it when she was had this. She had this two moves, even though one was her taking a move. She flipped off of the top rope,
but it looked like she like fell.
Right.
Like she flopped. And then she took a baseball jump. What are they? A suicide dive.
Yeah. Topo suicido.
Right. And to from Ember Moon, and she got like an arrow. She got like impaled to the
right.
wall.
Right.
It was like awesome. And you're like, oh, this is what I like about Sasha Banks. She wrestles like hard as fuck, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
But she sells her wrestling. I'm like, she needs to sell the boss gimmick harder.
Right.
I'm like, when you're on that top rope, don't just flop off. Be up there being like, I'm a boss. Like,
yeah.
Scream at this crowd. Get them going.
Yeah.
Show some charisma.
Sure.
Show us why you're... She's Snoop Dogg's niece.
I know. She's got to be
that's like
smoking blunts and wearing a bathrobe. She's got to be Snoop Dogg's niece.
Honestly, maybe.
Yeah.
Or something.
She
drove down on a Cadillac
yeah.
golf cart.
That should happen every
like,
time.
She should always be on the Cadillac
yeah.
golf cart.
Well, I mean, Sasha Banks is a wrestler that 5 years ago, whenever it was, when she was in NXT, we were all so excited for him. Like, this woman is going to be one of the biggest talents of all time. And then she had that run against Charlotte where they were exchanging the title back and forth.
Hell in Cell.
And it was great. Those matches were awesome.
And she's never retained on
out
a Raw.
On a pay-per-view. Yeah, Charlotte, which that's great because right. Charlotte deserves it to just kick everyone's ass on every pay-per-view in WrestleMania. She's amazing. But
she
lost
to Bliss also.
Yeah, but Sasha.
Yeah, on Raw.
Sasha, since she had all this potential and she was so, so great, and then she just sort of lost us along the way because of inconsistent character stuff and not being good enough on the mic and just like not selling her stuff hard enough.
Yeah, totally. All right, let's get to the men's Money in the Bank.
The men'sy in the bank.
Let me see. Do we have any cash ins that I want to play? No, these are not about Money in the Bank.
Okay.
All right. So Money in the Bank. So for the men, we have Braun Strowman, Braun, and we have Kevin Owens, Bobby Roode. Freebirding of the New Day, a member of the New Day, Miz, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, and Rusev Day.
Okay,
not Rusev Day, just Rusev.
Rusev,
not both of them.
By the way, the Lana Day shirts,
yeah,
are so good.
It's the American. Is it
no? It's Russian. And it looks a lot like Bulgarian, but blue instead of green.
That was my question. That's
the Russian flag because yeah. she's the ravishing Russian.
Oh yeah,
and it's awesome. But Rusev, I don't think is going to win this thing,
even though she's losing the accent.
That's great. She's slowly losing it, which I like. Like
yeah,
she's like kind of has an accent
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're doing
yeah.
it real nice
it's
for
very
us.
Very interesting.
Good transition. She's transitioning. So the thing is, I don't think that Rusev's going to win.
Shame.
Sorry.
We don't make transition jokes
That's
here.
That's not
okay?
a joke.
Yeah, okay.
Just the word. I can't say the word transition?
Shame. No. You have to work around it.
Okay. I have no shame. It's fine.
No.
Look, here's who would be great with the briefcase. Miz would be amazing with the briefcase.
Yeah.
Finn, I think, is in the right point in his career where the briefcase would be really cool for him to have. Bobby Roode is a waste of everyone's time. The New Day is a waste of everyone's time. Owens, I don't think he's going to win, but he's obviously, I love him. Strowman doesn't need it. He could have a title shot whenever he wants. Right? So I
really hope it's not Strowman.
That's a waste. They're wasting what Money in the Bank is all about. It needs to go to someone who needs it to win, like Miz, or someone who's going to do like an honest... Like, remember when Cena did like a legit cash. He's like, I'm going to cash in, so I want a match at this pay-per-view. You know, like that's a cool way to cash in when you're not doing it dastardly.
Yeah.
I think Finn could do something like that.
Well, let's take one step back.
Okay.
Do you want to see the cash in? Do you want to see the briefcase go to Raw or SmackDown? That's a big deal.
That's
because
a big deal.
The belt's not really around on Raw.
Right.
And cashing in on Lesnar is a way to keep Lesnar not beaten.
Right. That's the only way. I think it has to go to Raw because that's the only way we're ever going to get the belt off Lesnar. And
yeah.
it needs to come off Lesnar soon.
Because he keeps Lesnar's cachet so high.
Right.
He can go fight John Jones. Which
right.
Is John Jones suspended?
John Jones is currently still suspended. USADA's going to rule. The commissions are going to rule. They're either going to give him like time served or maybe give him, it depends if they give him 2 years, 3 years, whatever. There's a chance he comes back within the next year.
And so that's the fight John Jones should take because at this point he should only take money
fights.
That's
the money fight, but the fight he should take is he should just fight the heavyweight champion. He should fight Daniel Cormier to get the lightweight
right.
belt, the light heavyweight belt back, and then he should fight Stipe Miocic.
He could beat all those guys.
He
right?
could kill everybody.
Yeah.
But I would
even though it's crazy.
I think Lesnar is actually an easy fight for him because Lesnar's a little bit too old, a little bit too out of shape, can't get hit.
He's so much heavier though.
Yes, but Lesnar's fought, but John Jones
will beat
can
up.
Fight at heavyweight.
John Jones will beat up Brock Lesnar really bad.
I think he can, yeah. I think he can. There's a chance. I just don't think Lesnar's going to.
It's cool that Lesnar's always a threat just on his size
and pure wrestling ability.
Yeah.
You have to understand, for people who don't know much about MMA, it's mixed martial arts. If there's one discipline, though, if you come in with only one skill set, the best base you can have is American wrestling.
Brock Lesnar just stole the conversation for Money in the Bank, just to show you the power of Brock Lesnar or our obsession with Brock Lesnar.
He's a beast.
So we think we should go to, you think it should go to Raw. Okay.
So I think it should go to Finn.
Finn.
Because I think that's the only way to take this belt off Lesnar, period.
Can you cash in as a good guy?
Yeah, I've Cena did it one time. He won Money in the Bank.
Right.
And then he just, the way he cashed in was he just booked himself a title match. Like, he didn't come in the middle of a match or at an inopportune time. He was just like, cool, I don't remember the exact details, but he just booked, like, a pay-per-view match. He's like, right, cool, I'm going to use this briefcase. Here's the match I want. Done. We'll do it in a couple weeks.
I like that.
That's an awesome way for a face to do it. But I think
had anyone ever joined the match before Rollins?
I think Rollins was the
so
first guy to do that.
Remember when we were there? We were like, what does this mean?
Yeah, we're like, what is how does this play out?
And
what's
that was
happening?
So great because then Lillian was on the microphone. This is what I love about wrestling.
So good.
It goes back to my viral bit. Is like, we're like, what's the rules here? And then she's like, what this means? She goes, Seth Rollins is cashing in his Money in the Bank contract. And then she's like, this means.
Yeah.
And then no
we
idea.
Need the translation.
At the main event. At the event.
That's so great.
She goes, this means this match is now a triple threat.
What? It was amazing.
Sophie, you know that?
No.
This guy joined. This is what my joke is about. He joined the match. Mid-match. Anyway.
And then he won.
And then he won?
Yeah.
He won.
So a guy not in the match.
Oh, is this what you were referring to in your video?
Yes.
Yeah.
Any true wrestling fan knows that the punch, what you should, if you do that joke again, tag it with, his name is Seth Rollins, and he's the fucking man.
Okay, so one time I've told that joke, by the way, all right. I was sitting on this clip, by the way, for 2 years.
Yeah.
Got rejected from every late night television show.
They're not ready for you.
They weren't ready for me or Asuka. But,
right.
And it probably got more views than if it was on a
100%
late night show.
Yeah.
What was I saying? Oh, one time I tell this joke, right? And it was kind of like a big deal show for me.
Right.
And I go, you guys know who, the way I tell the joke is I'm like, you guys know who won the title, at the championship title at WrestleMania 31? And then I pause, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And some guy just goes, Seth Rollins.
Nice.
And it kills the joke.
Oh, yeah, it ruins it.
Like, it kills it, because then I go, oh, yeah, that's right. But you guys know he wasn't in the match.
Right. Like, that's tough.
You know what I mean?
You have to bank on the fact that no wrestling fans are in the world.
It only happened one time, and here's the kicker of the thing. The guy who did it was the guy, the host of the show.
What a dickbag. He should know better, right?
I think wrestling marks are so excited that they have the answer.
Right. We're always excited to talk to each other, too. Like, I like wrestling. We're buds now.
And I was just like, I go, that's the first time anyone's answered that.
Man,
and that got a laugh at least.
Right, but that derails the whole joke.
But it derailed the whole
joke. That's right. The clip, it comes out perfect.
Yeah, anyway, so who do you think wins? Money in the Bank.
Finn or Miz. I think it's Finn or Miz. That's it. So it just, and I'm going to say Finn because...
Because I will also say Finn.
Yeah.
You guys know why.
Yeah, you know why.
The fappening.
the only guy on Raw that I think could win is, could be Finn. And they're probably due for a face, but Owens with the briefcase
would be pretty cool.
Good.
Owens.
They say they're setting up for an Owens-Strowman feud.
Right.
But that has nothing to do with the case.
Right. Right,
it's actually good because he can start hitting him with the case, right?
Yeah.
Like it gives Owens like a way to equalize.
Right.
The
only funny thing that if Strowman won the case would be how small it looks in his hand. It looked like a little wallet.
I just think, that's true. I think Miz. I've said the guy who shouldn't win is Miz, and I think Miz will win. Miz with the case is just like it's time to push Miz. It's like it's time.
He's ready for another.
Let's not miss
main
this opportunity.
Yep.
The guy's ready to headline a WrestleMania. The guy
again.
Yeah, and. Versus Daniel Bryan.
Like 100%.
Yeah.
And I don't like DDP.
You'll be in Miz gear.
Oh, man.
Miz has no good shirts. You know that, right?
He doesn't need them. He doesn't need them. He's a Hollywood A-lister. What does he need a shirt for? Hey, let me ask you a question. Does Brad Pitt have cool merch?
No.
How about your girl Julia Louis-Roberts? That's a combination of Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Julia Roberts.
Both of them don't have merch, and they especially don't have crossover merch.
No, exactly. So that's why The Miz does not need good merch.
That tag team, Julia Louis-Roberts.
Yeah, that's right.
Who do they wrestle?
They wrestle Jason Alexander Payne.
Okay.
He's a combination of the guy who wrote Sideways and George Costanza.
That's controversial because the intergender match. But all right. Cool. So I think The Miz. All right, cool. Let's
Can we talk about the way they opened Raw with everyone on top of ladders, all the men and all the women
of
Raw?
Yeah, let's get into Raw. Okay, so Raw, so they open up. It was really awkward,
They've
done it every year
they
now,
They do it every year, and it's always awkward whenever you just put eight people in a ring just standing on ladders, but casual, chilling.
This time was a little different. Last time, they were sitting atop equally sized ladders.
Right.
So they were all at the same height, and they were seated.
Yeah.
Okay? And that was awkward.
Sure.
But at least it was like, all right, they're just cutting promos at a higher level.
Right.
This was, they were in a tableau. They were in like a
beautiful
Wes Anderson style, like, tableau, cutting promos at each other. Some people were on 10-foot ladders. Mm-hmm. Some people on 19-foot ladders. Mm-hmm. It was really strange.
100%.
I mean, I understand visually Vince being like, that looks cool.
You got to make it sexy for Vince.
Yeah, but it's not, it wasn't very natural.
No. The whole segment is natural, but I will say I think it was still a good segment. I wasn't expecting a lot out of these. I usually hate these segments, but this one was okay. It was saved by Kevin Owens and by Alexa Bliss.
Owens and Bliss were both fantastic.
Awesome. Owens
broke the tension of the corny, like, I know you are, but what I am of it.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, no one cares about what you're saying.
Right, yeah. He's so good. And then he was like, let me ask you, is Strowman going to have the same case height as the rest of us? Like, it's not fair. He's got to raise up for Strowman. That's amazing.
I wrote this right here. Kevin Owens is so great right now. I love his new whiny gimmick.
Oh, it's so
and
good.
He wanted to raise the briefcase. So Owens is interesting. He's really like finding he's reinventing himself a little bit. Like, he's always been kind of whiny.
Right.
But right now it's like, and they did two things that I really like. Right now he's finding this thing where it's like, okay, what makes it so good is the nuance of it, which is that he set a line this week that was like, look, he was going around to every wrestler in the Money in the Bank being like, look, we got to team up against Fatal Four-Way.
Making the very obvious point of like, none of us can beat Braun Strowman.
Right.
Which I like that they just say it like as a known truth.
But the tweak that they do is that he goes, I probably could beat him, but it would take a lot of effort. Effort that's not worth it. He goes, we know you can't beat him.
Right.
That's what he said to Bobby Roode.
Right.
We know you can't beat him. I probably could beat him, but it would take a little too much effort.
So good. He's so good.
Right? And so that's the nuance that makes Kevin Owens so good, because like, he is still the guy willing to get on the ladder and frog splash Strowman through that table.
Right.
He still is the indie threat.
Sure.
But he's like trying to work around it. He's like, it's almost like the story of him is just like, yo, look, guys, let's be real. I'm awesome at wrestling, but I'm also a fat guy.
Right.
And this WWE schedule is pretty tough on
me.
So I'm looking for everything to make this easier.
Right.
I got kids at home. Like, I can't die.
And the point of view of, like, the reading between the lines, like, the subtext there is also just being like, look, I know I can't really beat him, but I'm going to keep saying, I'm afraid of him, but, like, I'm going to tough talk you. Like,
he should say what I just said.
Sure.
He should be like, look, you guys know I wrestle 1,000% when I do. But, like, this WWE schedule's a lot for me. I'm traveling a bunch. I got two kids.
I think that's too fourth wally, though.
I know.
Where's
that
drop?
Yeah.
See you, fourth wall!
Don't call for drops.
Sorry.
No, you can.
Owens, everything he's doing is great. He used to be more of, like, a mega badass who was kind of kvetchy, and now he's like a mega kvetch who's still kind of badass.
Nice.
And
nicely
I like that,
put.
And I like
that's the most Jewish way to describe Kevin Owens.
Oh, you didn't know? I got bar mitzvah!
Hey, and if you ain't down with that, you are anti-Semitic. I got one compound word for you. Is anti-Semitic a compound word?
Sure.
Thank you, yeah.
Well, I don't know, because it's not anti, it's not its own. You know what? Let's delete this.
I got one word with a prefix for you.
I've got a hyphenated word.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah.
Constable Corbin. What were you saying?
Owens stole the show on this opening segment, and then so did Alexa Bliss. When everyone's just, you know, pissing and moaning and talking over each other, she just screamed. That was, and took all the attention.
Oh, she went, yeah, that was
and
great.
And she was like, shut the fuck up.
That was awesome.
It was so
Owens
good.
Had an awesome shut up everybody moment.
Right.
And then Alexa also had a good joke when Sasha was like, didn't you say you were hurt last week, your leg? And then she goes, what's hurt? And she's like, my shoulder?
Yeah, she's so good.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't even know if she's so good for a normal person, but for a wrestler, like, she brings so much, like, acting and character to the table that these people just can't touch her.
She's a natural. She's great.
Because it's weird because she came from the fitness world, not like the acting world, you know? No. But like, if you put like Ronda against Alexa and be like, cut a promo right now, like Alexa is the best female promo cutter.
I bet she was, I don't know this for a fact, but I bet she was a cheerleader at some point.
She probably
and
was.
And has like that kind of background.
But I don't remember cheerleaders cutting a lot of promos. They just spell shit out.
That's true. They spell stuff.
They got easy
one
promo work.
One letter at a time.
Very easy promo
work. Well, she used to cut promos one letter at a time. You remember that when she started?
No. Yeah.
That'd be really funny. Alexa was great. But it was having them all in the ring there, you're like, Sasha, you're like, oh man, you are a charisma suck.
Right. I don't care about you. Yeah.
Finn has charisma. We went through his distinction here.
There's not mic skills.
Lots of charisma. And a real charm about him when he speaks. And now he's got a thing where he smiles. Yeah. Ever since his branding, his at Mania really fixed him.
Sure.
That, like, for everyone Finn thing
was
is
awesome.
Like,
this is the right Finn. And now I love they will never do that demon shit again. Like, they're just like, nah, this doesn't work.
It didn't work.
It's out of the gimmick.
It didn't work for him.
I love that they
will do it again.
Nah.
But why didn't he be the rainbow demon?
Nah. That'd be so funny.
Sophie, you know about this? That at WrestleMania, Finn Balor came out. Normally he comes out as a demon, but at WrestleMania he came out in rainbow, like he had like a shirt with a rainbow on it, and it said Finn Balor's for everyone, and he came out with a bunch of diverse people.
Right, he's just a very tolerant man.
Yeah, wow.
His gimmick is that he's tolerant.
Good branding.
That probably makes you want him way more.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something that's going to cool your jets a little bit and make you not be that into him anymore.
He voted for Trump.
No, he didn't vote for Trump.
No.
He can't vote. He's not a citizen.
Yeah.
Look up Finn Balor demon. And this is how he used to come to the ring for big matches. He'd wear like a weird Rastafarian hat and like face paint his whole body. It looked really cool without the dumb hat.
Ugh.
Yeah, but if you want to cool your jets, if you're too overheated about Finn Balor.
No, this is so weird.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
they figured
this is terrible.
Also, it's weird, they figured out Nia Jax in a similar way. There are two people who are like, oh, they're the demon, they come at you. You're like, no, these are just like really nice people.
Yeah.
And then that's what's not working about Nia now.
But this week she kind of went back to being a nice lady again.
Oh, really? When she cut that Rousey promo, I thought she was working heel.
Nah, she kind of came back. She was, you know, because she checked on Natty.
That's true.
She's just sort of like, she even said, like, look, I'm just trying to rile you up. Like, I really respect you, or something like that. She played that card a little bit.
Let's get into Corbin.
Okay.
Corbin. Let's get a cash in, but we'll go into Corbin. Cool.
Love it.
Super cool.
Do you guys mind if we wrap up by 3? Is that we've been at an hour and 20? How long are these usually?
They're long.
Sometimes two,
just
but this would be
because this week. But
an hour
okay.
40. I don't know. We could probably.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think we're. All, I think.
I guess I'm just wondering when you think that we'll be done.
Yeah, we should be done. We should
we
be done
say,
in the next
you
20.
Say 3:15, just to give us cushion. Is that okay?
Well, what's Obi? What's your schedule?
It's okay as long as if we're out at 3, I think I'm okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got 20 M's.
Okay.
Play that Corbin cash-in. And we'll zip through it.
I don't think I have it.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, I do. Ready?
11:17 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday Night Raw Live. And the Constable Corbin has shaved his motherfucking head, y'all. Looking like $1 million in his vesty vest. Just goes to prove, man. Sometimes all you need is a little tweak to your gimmick and your look, and you can instantly get everybody over. Like, I didn't even know he had a little tattoo behind his right ear because it's always covered up because of that stupid fucking grungy hair. Listen, if this is a fucking way to show you what you need to do, Roman needs to lose the vest immediately. Immediately. Tiptoe with too low. And remember, folks, everything's a fucking work. Love you mucho. Kisses.
I like it.
Yeah.
Tulo, love it. Love tiptoeing. I want everyone to know I tiptoe with Tulo. I do. I tiptoe with him. The Corbin thing, I mean, no one thought Corbin sucked more balls than I did. I thought he was such a waste of a slot on the roster. And these past 2 weeks, he shaved the head. He put on, he's Constable Corbin. He started dressing nice instead of dressing like a guy who got kicked out of the Hell's Angels in 1972. And it's looking good, man. I like this role. This week for wrestling, I'm going to call it Hair Week. The big week for hairstyles. Baron Corbin shaved his head, debuted the new look. Samoa Joe debuted a new very kind of modern hairstyle.
The Joe Hawk.
Oh, we're calling it the Joe Hawk?
Yeah.
I like that. It's the Joe Hawk. It looked like that wasn't even his real hair. It looked like he, like, glued, like, a toupee on. Yeah. Like, he didn't have that kind of hair, like that kind of coverage.
He was in an SNL sketch.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, he was between segments, they glued it on.
Isn't that just Cedric Alexander's hair? It looked like they create a wrestler, Cedric Alexander's hair, onto Samoa Joe.
It did. Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Very funny to see, but also a great look. And then the third big thing for hair is a little while ago, the artist, Aiden English, shaved his head, which is a good look. That guy shaved his head because his hair is clearly falling out. He shaved it, but not quite deep enough. And it looks like he abandoned the He's like, I don't like a shaved head. I'm growing it back in. Like, his hair is back now.
I liked it the other way. I didn't like it shaved.
You don't I liked it before when it was long and still
had
like a
comb over. I liked
it long
and, yeah, I liked that.
I liked that too, but if you did
because he's like an opera guy.
But if you did a good hair shave,
yeah.
Like when he shaved his head, it was too long anyway. Like you can still see the horseshoe and everything like that. I think, you know, it would be the best thing because he's an opera guy. If he shaved his head entirely and then
got fat.
No. Yeah, got fat, wore a Viking helmet. No, I was going to say if he shaved his head entirely but wore a different theatrical wig every week. Like, one week he has, like, blonde pigtails. One week he has a pompadour. One week he has, like, he'd be a real showman.
I would love that.
It'd be amazing. That's fantastic. It'd be amazing for
the
gimmick.
Like, you know in the Peter Pan cartoon?
Yeah.
I don't know if you got that reference.
Where he's a fox?
In the beginning of it, like, when the dad.
Oh, Robin Hood.
The dad is, like, being mean to the dog Nana.
Yeah.
He's wearing, like, an ascot, like, his chest. Can you get, like, where those tuxedos, the bad guys in Disney movies have, like, the big barrel chest, like the big chest.
Yeah.
Can you get him one of those like operatic like big chests?
Yeah, someone's got like a big chest on.
Check it out
on
when Bowie
English.
Performed The Man Who Sold the World
on SNL.
On SNL. Can he wear that thing?
Oh man, check out Klaus Nomi.
That's a deep reference.
No, but if you love SNL musical performances, you gotta know the David Bowie. It was with Klaus Nomi and what's his name? Joey Arias.
Yeah.
Do you know those names, Dan? Or
no.
Am I schooling you? Those are the two like weirdos in the back.
Yeah.
They're huge in the scene in New York.
I know who they are, like visually, but I don't know. Oh, they are.
Joey Arias and Klaus Nomi, two of the weirdest weirdos you'll ever weird, backing up David Bowie.
I know what video you're talking about, and I love it so much, though.
Yeah, you go to the Bowie exhibit.
Yeah,
they have it.
It's so good.
I gotta check that exhibit out. It's an important performance for SNL.
Yeah.
But my favorite SNL musical performance is...
What is it?
John Belushi doing... Joe Cocker for Feeling All Right.
Yeah, I've seen
it's
that.
It's a great impression. I probably showed it to you.
You sent it to me.
Yeah,
I love it.
All right, we're getting derailed.
My favorite one?
Yeah.
Is Katy Perry.
Yeah?
No. My favorite SNL, I mean, I'd have to think about that.
Yeah.
I like a lot of the Kanye ones. Right. Some of those are my favorite. I think Kanye when Dark Twisted Fantasy came out, and he was in the red leather, and it was all white.
Yeah.
And he just had ballerinas in all white.
Yeah, very cool.
And then he did Runaway, and had the 808 machine there. Yeah. Like, or that I love.
You know what's cool? Nirvana doing Rape Me, even though they weren't supposed to.
Yeah. Also, Nirvana, do you like the Bowie version better or the Nirvana version?
Nirvana.
It's way better.
That is the best cover of all time.
Isn't it interesting when someone takes a song and then they just do it? Oh, it's way better.
Sure. It happens all the time.
Sinead O'Connor did the Prince song better.
Some people just do it better.
Yeah. What's another version of that? Pearl Jam has one, a Beatles song they do better.
The whole I Am Sam soundtrack is better than the Beatles.
Yeah, it's better than the whole Beatles catalog.
Sure.
Anyway. Okay, anyway, we got it. All right, anyway, I think Sophie might be finishing up, so we gotta blow through here. Okay, what were we just talking about?
We were talking about Constable Corbin.
Oh, Corbin. My only beef is that, like, just show Stephanie anointing him the constable. We just need... It could be a video package. Just have me... Like, because... right now, just Kurt Angle just believing him.
Right.
You know? And it's like... But Corbin, man. Tulo nailed it. He looks great.
He looks awesome.
He was wearing a hoop t-shirt, and you saw his tats. I don't even like his tats, and he's ashamed. I mean, that haircut made such a big difference.
Well, but this week, he was wearing, like, a three-piece suit.
He looked fantastic.
He looks great in the
suit. He's
arrived.
Haircut.
Baron Corbin has arrived. We've been saying it for years.
Shout out to Jabroniak John Wetzel, who's been a Corbin mark since the beginning.
His hair was so disgusting.
But also, I like the lone wolf gimmick.
Nah.
I like that he's. No, I liked it. No, because it feels like he's a guy who has no friends.
Yeah, that's because his hair sucked.
Anyway,
now he's got good hair.
Let's keep going.
One more thing about this. If you watch the exclusive WWE.com video of him getting his hair actually cut. It's very cool. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I saw it, yeah.
You see the video? He's like,
all right. Talking shit about the internet.
He's like, all right, let's do it. I'm a little nervous. It's just a real moment where this guy's cutting his long hair that took him like 2 years to
grow.
You
can see inside he's having a full-on panic attack.
Yeah, because he's a bald guy. He's like, I'm embracing being a bald guy now. And he did
it. Imagine when you shave it and you look great? Like
it's
that,
awesome.
You shave it and you go like, oh man, like why didn't I do this 2 years ago?
Shout out to Arlen Marmel.
He's like, I haven't been with a woman in 2 years because of my hair.
Shout out to Arlen Marmel. He did a very similar move where he now has a shaved head. He looks great.
Shout out to you, who also was a guy with mega long hair for
right.
a long time.
Yeah.
And then when you shaved it, you got significantly more women.
I didn't shave my head. And
you got a regular haircut.
I got a Don Draper.
Yeah.
A side part.
Yeah.
And of course
you went from Dave Grohl to Don Draper.
Yeah, and it really helped my stats.
Yeah.
You know, it was great.
And your quote was, I got good looking.
Yeah, I got good looking.
Like, you got a haircut.
Yeah, but it fucking worked, baby.
Yeah, anyway.
I get looks on the street.
Okay.
Fashion.
All right, I'm going to blow through some things. I'll tell you. Keep going.
He donated his hair. I'm sorry. I'm so upset. He's like, let's donate this to Locks for Love.
Yeah, I think it might have been too short. Was it their
saying? No, they're like, there's 8-inch and 10-inch. I think this is 8. Then he talks shit about the internet fans who talk shit about his hair. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Sorry. And also, why Constable? What a weird English Bobby term. Like, what? They can't call him something tougher sounding?
I don't know, but I like that. I like it. But
I like it,
that's
too.
That's why I want Stephanie to say it. Let's
this.
Call you, I don't know, the Constable. Even if it's just random.
No, she should be like, I need someone on the inside. I'm boots on the ground. I need an officer. I need a constable.
That's why I also think they should factor, they should talk more openly about money in wrestling.
Totally.
Even though she have kayfabe money stats.
Right.
Like, winning the belt, it should be like, I'm now rich. Like,
right.
would have been really helpful for Jinder Mahal when he won. It was like,
totally.
Before I was poor. Now, look at the resources I have.
Yep.
Like, I like the title making you rich.
Totally.
And I think if it's like if it's like Stephanie being like, I'm going to give you a raise, and I'm like, I can't make you a GM. We don't have the funds for that
right
now.
Right.
But it's like, what I'm going to make you is the constable.
Yeah.
Like something like that. Like, that's why I think they should talk more about money.
True.
Anyway, cool. All right, we got to move on.
Yeah.
Riot Squad finally had a riot. Good for them.
Oh, my.
This is the first time they had a riot. They, like, threw. All they did was throw Lay's potato chips.
They threw some potato chips and cut a poor guy's tie.
Yeah, but where'd she get the scissors?
Because she's Ruby Riott, man. She's crazy.
Oh,
let me tell you, last time I was on the show, I went on a rant about how fucking terrible the Riot Squad is. Guess what? They're just as terrible. Even though they finally did a riot, and they're starting to make, like, 2% sense right now, they still don't make any sense at all. None of this makes sense to me. Why would these three women be in a squad together? They're awful. They're awful. They all need to go.
We gotta
I can't
move on.
Stand looking at this woman anymore.
We gotta move on. Okay, so here's the thing. Elias, okay? I think Elias had his best song.
Yeah, it's a quality song.
This song was good, and matter of fact,
great lyrics. Botched that.
He messed
it
up, and his voice is terrible.
Yeah.
But it's
no woman, no cry.
And also it's landslide. It's also
in the landslide. He's the architect, but he tells us to burn it down.
This is for you, Daddy.
Make up your damn mind, Seth. These are the worst nicknames around.
This guy's so over.
I love it.
Seth freaking Rollins? Am I supposed to think that's cool?
Uh-uh, baby.
And I get it, you do CrossFit, so I definitely know that you're a tool.
Shout out to CrossFit, your tools.
You're void of any talent. You're a disgrace to Monday Night Raw. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if you were born in this toilet of Little Rock, Arkansas.
Love it. Whoa. Such good heat.
This is good work. This is good work, baby.
Great heat.
Okay,
he's
great.
He's got to learn how to end his songs better, but yeah.
Well, no, I think right there what happens is Seth shows up and is like,
still
know better, dude. But
yeah.
So, all right, Elias, fantastic work. What do you think about Elias? Shit for time. What do you think about Elias?
Look, Elias is incredible. No one doesn't like Elias. He's amazing. But look, this song is the first song. He's the best musical talent he's displayed the song in guitar playing and in lyricism and in tune carrying. My favorite part about Elias is that in wrestling, you have to suspend your disbelief a lot, right? You have to believe that, like, a guy who was scarred from getting burned as a kid also could take his mask off and the scars were just mental, right? You need to believe that, like, Braun Strowman could fight Finn Balor and be a fair fight. You need to suspend your disbelief. My favorite suspension of disbelief is that we have to believe this guy's, like, actually good at music. We have to pretend, like, oh, my God, this guy's a real singer.
Yeah.
He's so terrible in the real world of actual musical talent.
Yeah.
But he's by far the most musically gifted wrestler of all
but
time.
Sophie, how did that song sound to you?
Objectively.
Mediocre as a song, great as a, you know, piece of content.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Perfectly put.
Right. Love it. Yeah. So it's just so fun to see, like, everyone be like, yeah, we appreciate this gimmick. This guy's a really good artist. When we all know he's not.
Yeah, so, I mean, we all agree. Elias is doing great work. Chance he wins that IC belt. There is a chance.
There's always a
chance.
There's a chance.
The guy is good.
And Rollins don't need it.
Here's the thing about Elias. He's always he does this weird thing where here's where the consistency is a little off. Tell me how you feel about this. Mm-hmm. You might not agree. Elias has a thing where he lies about being friends with celebrities.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? He goes, like, I was with Bieber, and he told me, like, you should sing this song or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this is like, yo, check out this guitar John Mayer gave me. Clearly, John Mayer didn't give him that guitar.
He's a jokester, he may have.
They airbrushed it.
John Mayer doesn't know what the IC title looks like.
You know those baby gifts where they're like, he's a boy, so let's draw a football on it with one of those dumb pens.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
It was that
type
of art. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, all right. So, but then the storyline is Seth Rollins breaks it, and he's like, don't break the guitar John Mayer gave me.
Right.
But he's affected like John Mayer actually gave it to him.
Right. I think that,
does that not matter?
It's a little bit of an inconsistency.
Yeah. But is it like Elias actually believes his lies?
I think that,
That's really funny.
That we are meant to believe his lies. And I will say, Seth Rollins didn't just break the guitar. He did his finisher to it.
He curb stomped it.
No, he stomped it. He did not curb stomp it.
Oh, he stomped
it. He stomped
it,
the stomp.
Coach said that John Mayer's hip-hop.
Coach is such a fucking tool. He also made another mistake, too, where he goes, like, he tried to Herb Elias and be like, did he just say it was electric and acoustic? I don't know about that. And then Corey Griffin's like, yeah, you could have an electric acoustic guitar. That's a real thing.
Yeah. A lot of people on the Facebook page, 4 a.m. under his eye, were shitting on the on Coach's commentary this week. I didn't have the clips for it, but maybe I'll take one of his episodes and dissect it. Let's move on
to Ronda Rousey. That's true. I was just going to say real quick, Coach is just a Byron. He's just like a slightly more adult Byron. Like, they're both terrible.
Ronda Rousey, ready?
Ronda.
Listen, I don't game plan. I improvise. And I'm going to improvise your arm off.
Okay.
What do you think, Dan? I'm curious about your take, because I have a take.
Well, your take, I could tell already, is that you like it.
I think this is her best promo of all time. I think she made up.
I can't read you? I've known you since we're 5 years old.
I smile.
You're hunched over with a smile, being like, what's your take? Because I want you to say it's bad so I can say, I love it.
I thought it was fucking excellent.
I mean, her delivery's bad.
For her, though?
She does this thing. Well, your cadence is always just like, you know what? I'm going to do it because I'm going to do it.
Yeah, it's a little cutesy.
And she's the baddest woman on the planet.
This was a little bit better than
But it's a weird thing, and then she got, later on, she got really angry and worked up, and that also felt forced. So it was like, I'm not exactly sure what the best thing is. I think she could just slow it down a little bit.
She needs you to coach her. The WWE needs to hire you to teach these guys improv.
Yeah.
She said she loves to do improv in that clip. She said, I want to be on Harold Knight.
Yeah, she said that.
Listen, I don't game plan, I improvise.
At UCB Theater on Harold Knight on Tuesdays with Sophie.
Lloyd Knight. I think that, look, was this the best promo of all time? No. But was this the best Ronda Rousey promo of all time? I think yes. I think she's growing. I think she's showing. And I'm flowing.
I'm pro Ronda Rousey. I think my thing with Ronda Rousey is I think she's doing a great job as people are into her. One thing is like, yeah, so her promo work is not there. She's a terrible actress. Like, it's not what she does. But when they were putting hands on each other,
awesome.
That was really good.
Magical. It was magical.
And you saw it at Mania. She's really captivating as a physical talent.
She's a physical performer.
She's a physical talent.
There's different types of intelligence.
Why is it? It is okay for men to be a physical talent, by the way. People are so apologetic for, like, Finn's mic skills and, like, AJ's mic skills because they're physical talents.
Right.
She's not more captivating than those guys, but she's, when it comes to touching, getting physical, she brings it.
She is great. Look. There's different types of intelligence. Some people have mathematical aptitudes. Some people have linguistic intelligence. Some people have emotional intelligence. Some people are physically geniuses, like Kobe Bryant. Maybe not the smartest guy books-wise. Maybe he's smart. I don't know. But he has such an incredible physical intelligence with his body. He knows where he is, his spatial relation. Ronda Rousey is a physical genius. She is a high-level athlete at the highest level. She's going to the – and you didn't like that promo where she's talking about the UFC Hall of Fame? She's like, they told me I couldn't be in the UFC, and I'm in the Hall of Fame now. Like, that was, without a doubt, her best promo.
It's not good if you're comparing her to CM Punk, if you're comparing – but when you compare it to someone who
– compare it to everyone else.
She doesn't really need to cut – flawless promo.
But that promo, I think, for her was the best promo I've ever seen. I think objectively it's a good promo. I think it's better than Daniel Bryan's promos. DB Plus could suck my B pluses. And I don't think she's that bad. That commentary last week was abysmal. But you know who else is bad?
I'm a Daniel Bryan mark, by the way. Just for the record, for the new listeners, yeah. Dan Black is a Daniel Bryan mark. Jason Shapiro couldn't like him at like.
Like him just fine. He's good. He's B plus. He's DB plus.
Yeah.
He's good, but it's the Emperor's New Clothes. He's not as good as everyone says. He's not Stone Cold, people. Okay. Ronda Rousey. There we go. Ronda Rousey on commentary was very lackluster. You know who else is really bad at doing commentary? Stephanie McMahon. You ever hear her do commentary?
Yeah, we've talked about it.
It's terrible. So some people just can't do commentary. And Ronda's already not a vocal talent. But this promo, I think, was objectively good. And once it got physical, she was a genius.
Well, also the storytelling of this segment, this was a – what was this not called? A contract signing. What was it?
I don't know what it was. It was a showdown. It was a
hold down. The summit was on SmackDown.
Yeah. I don't know what it was.
Is the storytelling was like – in WWE, there's moves that you're not going to be ready for.
Yeah.
And then Nia headbutted her, and she wasn't ready
for it.
And then she still recovered.
Awesome.
It was fantastic.
Awesome storytelling.
And then also, she was able to roll Nia into an armbar, which was made Nia look cool, good, too, from a smarky perspective. Like,
sure.
That's not that easy to do that role for a woman her size.
Sure.
So that was great. The segment was good. I'm excited to see what happens in that match. Think about it like that. Like, you're excited to see – it's same thing as Brock. It's like you're excited to see, like, when is he going to lose this belt?
Right.
Ronda, it's like, what are they going to do with her? Is she going to win the belt? If she won the belt right away, like, it's not that big a deal.
Let me tell you something. I'd be fine with it. I'd be fine with it. She's going to be a big deal because she's already a big deal. Once they figure it out that they don't need to make her, like, waving to the crowd and smiling and being everyone's best friend, once they figure that out, which they will,
right.
She's going to work like crazy. Her look is great. Her outfit is great. That leather jacket with the Roddy print with the plaid inside is great. It's working, man. Ronda, I don't care what you think, I know it best because I'm a professional. And I'm telling you, Ronda Rousey works.
Okay. We'll just blow through a couple SmackDown points. They'll just be bullet points. Ready?
I mean, we don't have time for that theme song.
Okay. So SmackDown. Right out the gate, SmackDown engaged me more than Raw, just in the sense that, like, right when they started, they go, Shelton Benjamin versus Daniel Bryan. I was
sure.
Like, man, I would pay to go see that match.
Yeah,
Jeff Hardy versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Good stuff. This
is how they started SmackDown.
It was great.
Being like, and then, like, Samoa Joe versus Rusev. Like, those are exciting.
Awesome.
Like, you're like,
awesome match.
All right, awesome. And they were all good.
They know how to book their talent
over
there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So just like SmackDown, that's the cool thing about SmackDown. You don't have Randy Orton gumming up the works.
Hey.
You've replaced him with Daniel Bryan. That's what's cool. This Summit thing was so terrible to me. The opening segment on SmackDown. It was cool that they had the women open SmackDown, but I really didn't. The Iconics were bad for the first time, in my opinion.
I've never been that sold on
them. You've never been sold on them. But
they're fine.
They said something that's kind of racist. They were like, I'm Irish. It was like
that's
kind
not
of,
racist.
Eh, it's just weird.
It's weird.
Racist.
The crowd kind of bristled at it. The crowd was like, hey, cut it out.
One thing they
said, I'm an Irish. I'm an Irish.
Yeah,
That's what they said.
The wording was weird.
Yeah, it sounded derogatory.
Daniel Bryan jump roping, I loved it, by the way. This is the stuff about Daniel Bryan behind stage jump roping, and his segments are always like, I work harder than other people, and I stay in shape, and I will submit you. His branding works really well for me.
It's a little on the nose to show this guy jump roping.
He was jump roping. You watch it. Like, not just jump roping shitty. Like,
I'm
two
sure,
legs at it. Like,
look,
it was awesome.
He's a very good jump roper, okay?
But it's better than him cutting a promo.
If he made Cat's Cradle with a piece of string on his hands, it'd be better than him cutting a promo.
Shin to the dome when your mama ain't home.
Shin to the dome when your mama ain't home.
I don't have that drop.
That's not even that bad of a line for this guy. He's B+. All right,
I like Daniel Bryan. I think he should. Shin to the dome, I like, but when your mama ain't home, don't like.
So, you talk about something.
Jeff Hardy.
You talk about
paint
something
being tattoo.
Forced. You talk about something being forced. Everything that comes out of Daniel Bryan's mouth is forced.
What's this dude?
Jeff Hardy, did he have paint on his neck?
Yeah, he painted his neck. That's
okay,
not
I was like, is that a tattoo? I couldn't see.
No, it was such a viscous, thick paint on his neck. It was crazy.
Carmella, she's repeating the same things over and over. I want more. I want her to just be doing more trashy stuff.
Sure,
The writing, I want that more fun. Like, I want Carmella to be like, I don't know. What's something trashy she could do?
She could
drinking
be
a 40.
Day drinking with her mom? I don't know.
Yeah, like something like getting her hair done when they're interviewing her or something.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I just want getting her hair bleached, like more. I just want a little more.
Talking down to people, talking down to wait staff or something. Not tipping well, but pretending that you tip well.
Yeah, cool. All right, that's basic. We covered so much this week.
We
had Money in the Bank. We didn't do a prediction. Does Shinsuke win the belt? That's the last thing.
That's a big prediction, and I'm going to say no.
I think Shinsuke wins the belt.
I think a lot of people think he wins, and I don't think he does.
He won't win it clean. It'll be like a bunch of...
dick punches.
It'll be a lot of low blows in a
right.
row, maybe like a bunch, because they're legal.
Yeah.
This match is set up for AJ to lose in a way that makes him look good, and
totally.
Shinsuke's ready for the title.
Look,
he's already older talent. Like it's and like he's doing some great work.
He is doing great work. He finally works for me, and that's the thing.
Not only does he work, he's like awesome.
He's
now.
Awesome. He's great. He's great. But you accuse me many times in this podcast of once I have an opinion that I'm stubborn and I'll never change it just because I think DB Plus is not that good.
Yeah.
But Baron Corbin, I thought needed to be fired. I think he's awesome now. Shinsuke Nakamura, no one was more confused why people pretended to like this guy than me. I don't like his moveset. His character made no sense as a face. People were just cheering him because they thought it'd be cool to cheer the guy who's from the other organization to show how cool they were.
Right.
But now it finally, as a heel, it all makes sense. The facial expressions, the weird squiggling, this goofy little juking and jiving he does works when he's a weirdo heel. And he's so funny with the pen running out of ink, his facial expressions. I'm finally on board with Shinsuke. I've changed my mind. If he won the belt, I wouldn't be upset, but I don't think he's gonna.
Listen, I don't game plan. I improvise. And I'm going to improvise your arm off.
Anyway, that'll do it for the podcast this week, Shebs. Thanks for coming in. If we didn't get to your cash-in, we had a lot of cash-ins this week, and we had a lot to cover this week. We're going to get to more of them next week when we're back in studio, and I got the full setup here in New York. Thank you to Sophie, the engineer, for just being patiently masturbating during this whole episode.
Taking it slow.
And helping me set up the soundboard and getting this episode. To our new listeners, welcome Jabroniacs. Join our Facebook page, Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page. Talk about wrestling for in the morning under his eye. You could join that now and talk about this podcast and get your opinions in there. We have a Money in the Bank prediction thread going there. You can be crowned the official cow champion till the next pay-per-view. The prediction champion, Jebs, you got to get in there because you love predicting.
I love predicting, and I'm pretty good at it.
Awesome. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we're at COW Podcast. You can also check out my stand-up clip that I've been teasing here if you haven't seen it.
It's
there,
very
check
funny.
It out.
It's very funny.
Send it to your friends if they like wrestling or your friends who like sports. And you're trying to convince them to watch wrestling. Yeah. This is the argument. That was a lot of the shares. A lot of people were like, this is why I like wrestling.
Yeah, it really resonates with people. I think it's an awesome clip. If you haven't seen it, do yourself
absolutely.
A favor.
Absolutely. You can follow me on Twitter at dblackattack. And you can, if you want to support the show, get access to those Patreon episodes, patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. We have t-shirts, prowrestlingtees.com/comediansofwrestling. You can get yourself a cow t-shirt. I'm wearing one right now. Shebs has one. He's not wearing it. He's chosen to wear a Randy Orton shirt instead of the cow merch.
The
today.
RKO NWO shirt. It's great.
Shebs, anything you want to plug?
I'm the legend killer. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Shabiro. That's S-H-E-B-I-R-O, Sierra Hotel, Echo Bravo, India, Romeo, Oscar. I have a show on SiriusXM Radio on the comedy channel Raw Dog 99.
The Raw Report.
Thursdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. L.A. time. We chop it up with some of the funniest comics in New York. It's a good time. I'm directing a UCB show, and this is on the UCB Comedy Network, right? So I'm directing Maud Night.
Mm-hmm.
Arch Nemesis' show is the Monday after Pride here in New York City, 9:30 p.m. Check me out.
All right. Awesome. Hey, Thomas Middleditch up Monday on the main feed. Check it out. Hey. Everybody, Jabroniacs, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.